This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Elgium Talks, which we're holding to mark the release of our 10th annual Active Ownership Report. I'm Max Julius, Head of Content, and I'm delighted to be joined by Sasha Sedan, Director of Investment Stewardship, and Miriam Omi, Head of Sustainability and Responsible Investment Strategy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, as you both know, there's a vast amount of material in the report on the actions we took on behalf of our clients last year across a very broad range of environmental, social, and governance issues. Of all of that activity, what would you highlight?
Wow, 10 years we've been doing this report. So Max, you asked the killer question to start with. I mean, last year was obviously such a tragic year with COVID, and trying to help support companies was our main aim. There's a lot of chat about trying to support and being constructive long-term shareholders. This was the year to prove that. Support them, show them stuff that they can do, help them navigate the AGM season, the dividends, balance sheets, and being as constructive and as supportive as we could be. And our letter on March the 27th, really early, trying to help them and not sense for publicity, just internally talk to companies, was exactly what we tried to do.
Well, thanks, Sasha. And Miriam, is there anything you would want to point to?
2020 was definitely a year of COVID, but it was also actually a year of climate. You know, we were asked many times during the years, you know, we have COVID now. Does that mean that the topic of climate change is going away? And what happened was that we ended up actually making a lot higher commitments throughout the year, not just us, but a lot of our companies and investors in the industry. And from our perspective, there were two highlights for us. One was the update and the renewed version of Climate Impact Pledge, which is our engagement program where we have now committed to engage with a lot more companies globally and continue to escalate the conversation. And the second part is our net zero asset manager commitment, which is to align many of our assets over time to be on par with the net zero trajectory. So that they were two really big ambitions that we made, we committed to last year.
And I'd just like to add, Miriam and I have spent many, many, many years trying to justify why ESG matters. And in these tragic scenarios, I think it's been everyone has noticed that, you know, companies are inextricably linked to the societies in which they operate. And that's never come through so quickly.
That's really interesting, Sasha. And to your point, Miriam, last year really was an extraordinary year. So, Sasha, what was the biggest challenge the team faced during the year?
Well, the pretty obvious one is that trying to engage with the amount of companies, doing it virtually, trying to have the same kinds of conversations. We've obviously very well trusted over the years because we've been doing this for a long time, but trying to have those informal conversations. And what did they want to know? Was it about, you know, the COVID? I mean, they were trying to survive, some of them. And then other companies, it was about their executive pay or supply chain. So it was very varied, and it was all about trying to just be as receptive as quickly as possible with so many companies asking us. And that's why we put out a few alerts to companies to try and help them in one shot, to try and be as helpful as possible.
Right. And Miriam, we've talked about climate, we've talked about COVID-19. What were the other key ESG issues?
Yeah, I mean, look, the we say COVID, but really what it highlighted was social issues, right? In terms of S being kind of previously being the one that's quite often forgotten. Although we know that people are the most important assets that companies have, and it really put to the fore in terms of how companies treat their own employees, their supply chain, their communities and all that. So I think it really kind of brought about the broad spectrum of ESG topics that were very important. And I think we had many conversations with our clients about importance of health services and health of employees. The other thing that we had a lot last year is regulations in the ESG space. You know, we've been talking about need for standardized ESG data, consistent information, not just from companies, but how investors disclose. And that actually went as far as the pension schemes having to disclose differently on climate matters. So I think what we're going to continue to see 2021 is the implementations of many of those regulations in Europe, in the UK, and also globally.
Right, and I suppose I should point out on where you talk about those S factors. Of course, last year was the year when we launched our ethnicity policy. Looking ahead, what are your priorities for 2021? Perhaps, Sasha, you want to go first?
Well, I think, I mean, you touched on ethnicity. I think it's really important that diversity has been something we've passionately cared about for a very long time. And we've expanded it from gender, and we'll keep looking at that and trying to get as much data so we can push on these very important areas. But inequality, we've worked very hard on trying to look at that. And we're talking about living wage in lots of countries and trying to look at how all employees are looked after and how their supply chains have worked in COVID, because they are all inextricably linked. And I think that is a perfect example of trying to be looking at the system and not just at the executives at the top of the system.
And Miriam?
Yeah, so I talked about commitment to net zero and regulations, and basically this is the year of implementation. So what does that mean to align our and our clients' portfolio to net zero? We'll be figuring that out, and the how we'll be working with our, you know, fellow investors to figure out what that means. So that's one big part of the task as we kind of approach November, which is when we host COP26 in Glasgow. We also will be kind of really figuring out how to, as I said, comply with the regulations that I mentioned. So in particular, TCFD, the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Risk Disclosure, is something that's becoming mandatory for pension schemes. So there's a huge amount of work trying to figure out what that really means to disclose risks and opportunities aligned to climate. And there's also SFDR, which is a European regulations on financial sustainable finance disclosure as well. So there's a huge amount of conversations that we're expecting to have our clients on the how. So we've kind of stopped talking about the why. We now have to move on to the how of ESG and climate.
Right. And Sasha, so Miriam talks about the year of implementation. What would you highlight going forward?
Yeah, I think in general, we've gone past the phrase, how much will it cost me to do ESG? To how do I do it? Which is exactly what Miriam's saying. And it's not just on climate. We have got now, with the defined contributions, money purchase schemes across the world, people are going, what are you doing with my money? And people want to show their values into their funds. And I think that is going to be the case, not just in E, but in S and G. And we're having to come up with those solutions and justify why we're doing this with more impact, which is what we're spending our time to do.
Before we finish up today, is there anything either of you would like to add?
Yeah, I just think this has become so mainstream that we just have to make sure that we deliver what we tell the clients we want. And I think that's the biggest issue that I worry about. I'm delighted that everyone is taking this seriously, but we do need asset owners to work out where the greenwashing is, whether it's from companies or from managers. They have to work out who's doing what, and it's about what impact and authenticity. And sometimes I just see that there's a whole proliferation of noise on ESG now, and we just got to make sure we're doing this for the right reasons and passionately.
Thank you. Miriam?
Yeah, and our report, you know, 10th year in, is really to showcase that engagement that is punchy and it has a proper escalation, you know, works. You know, we own part of those companies, we are part of their future. And so we have to keep pressuring to make sure we're heading towards the right future, which is where, you know, companies are governed properly, addressing its employees, and going towards the future we want in terms of carbon emissions and so forth. So we will continue to demonstrate it. Hopefully our clients can understand that it's incredibly important that we're part of this together. Last thing I'd like to say, as I said, is that we are hosting COP26 in November in Glasgow. And I'm actually working part-time in the high-level champions team, which is a sort of to set up to mobilize non-state actors. So businesses, cities, regions, and investors. So, you know, we talked about us being part of net zero asset manager initiative, but this net zero narrative is really everywhere now. So the companies are starting to commit to net zero by 2050, which is incredibly challenging, but we've seen those commitments coming out of cement companies, steel companies, you know, where we just never thought it would happen. And also we have a different political environment today, right? So we have America in a very different place from a few months ago, most of 2020. And they're starting to commit to the same net zero target. We have the same commitment coming out of China, Japan, and Korea. So we're expecting a huge amount of convergence in what we call race to zero. Who's gonna get there first? Let's go together. But it's also a race. So we really here to help our clients with this race because investors are not exempt. We are part of that race.
You've both given our listeners a huge amount to think about. And I think that was very useful context you just provided, Miriam. Sasha, from your last comments, I take away the words impact and authenticity. And Miriam, you know, the importance of engagement there as well really resonates. Thank you both very much for your time today. And thank you to our clients and listeners for joining us. You can find a link to the Active Ownership Report and a host of related material on our website.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us. And we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, eljim.com.